The Lord has been telling the crowds about John the Baptist, his ministry, his dress, his greatness, and telling them about the kingdom that John the Baptist preached about. He's telling them about the prophecies concerning John the Baptist. And the Lord has been telling these people that about John the Baptist as the forerunner to the Messiah. This is all in the same chapter. And then how his own ministry fulfills Isaiah. Because John's disciples came and they said, you know, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? And the Lord answers and says, you go back to John and you tell him this, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The Lord has been telling them all these things, that his ministry is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prediction, that he is the Messiah. And the Lord's been telling the people in Israel these great, wonderful things. And then at this point in the chapter, he turns and widens out his subject in verse 16. And he says unto the crowd, now that are listening, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? And the word whereunto means what? Shall I liken? Shall I compare? It is like, I can... What shall I compare this generation? And that Greek word means the multitude of men all alive at the same time. And the Lord's saying here, but what shall I compare this generation to? These crowds in Israel all standing around. What? In Northern Irish, he'd be saying, I've been telling you all these great things, but what are you like? I've been telling you, children of Israel, all this important stuff about Messiah and John the Baptist and so on. And then in the message, the Lord turns and he says, but this generation alive now, what are you like? Matthew Henry the Puritan says concerning the verse, there were many indeed that pressed into the kingdom of heaven. But the generality, the majority, the generality continued in their unbelief and obstinacy. End of quote. In other words, the Lord Jesus is now going to outline two things about the current generation in his day when he's preaching there in Judea. Two things that were a big problem. Two things that were hindrances to these people entering the kingdom. The generation in Christ's day when he was here on earth had a big problem, and the big problem was themselves. And that's why he says to them, but what are you like? You've heard all the things I've been preaching for 11 chapters, he says to them, but what are you like? And these people had great benefits, great privileges, great preaching. They had beheld with their own eyes, many of them, great miraculous events performed by the Son of God, and generally speaking, it passed the most of them all by. They missed it because of what they were like. There were two big problems with these Jews, and it was problems with their attitude and their mindset. These attitudes and mindsets are not, of course, limited to the time in which the Lord was speaking, but they're attitudes and mindsets of the unsaved or the unregenerate person, whether they are religious or not. two characteristics of the sinful nature. The points are, I'm going to give you 3 points. Number one is this. In answer to the question of the Lord, that he asked the people, what are you like? Whereunto shall I liken this generation? He then answers the question. He says, first of all, you're like childish dictators, verse 16 and 17. And secondly, you're just like Mr. and Mrs. Never Happy, verse 18 and 19. And the third point will be challenge and application. But he asks them the question, what are you like? And then he says, what you're like is this. You're like childish dictators. That's verse 16 and 17. Whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children, sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. You imagine a child saying that, can't you, with the bottom lip sticking out. You have not danced. And we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. It's like, the word like is means compared. The Lord says, you know what you're compared like, the generation? You know what you're compared, you're like? You're like wee children. And the Greek word means little boys. And you can well imagine little boys sitting in the marketplace, shouting to one another and keeping one another going. You're little boys sitting in the market, sitting in the public place and calling and shouting to one another as a present active participle, shouting to one another, we have piped, we have played the flute, it literally means. But you have not danced, means danced. We have mourned unto you. We have sung the dirge, the Greek word means. But you have not lamented. You have not wailed, mourned, or grieved. And when you put these words together, the Lord is saying that this generation of adults that heard him preaching and heard John the Baptist preaching as well, he's saying to them, what are you like? I'm going to tell you what you're like. You're like wee kids. You're like wee kids shouting at one another in the public place and arguing with one another because you're saying, we have played the flute and we have sung the dirge, but you're not dancing and you're not mourning. In other words, you're not reacting in the way we planned you to react. You're not doing what we expected. We expected when we played the flute, you would be dancing. We expected when we sung the funeral song that you'd be mourning. But you're not doing it our way. You're not doing what we expected. They're dictatorish, dictator children, childish dictators. And we're trying to manipulate the situation and cause you to behave in a certain way by what we are doing, but you're not doing it. You should be doing what we are trying to get you to do by our playing the flute and singing the dirge. You should be doing what we want in reaction to us. The Lord's saying, what is this generation like? They are like childish dictators who want to tell the Lord and John the Baptist what and how to do it. And because the kingdom of God was coming, but was not coming in the way they wanted it, they were not happy. What were they like? They were like petulant children. But it's even more serious than that, brethren. For the picture that the Lord is painting here is a similitude or an illustration of the behavior of the Jews that inhabited Israel in New Testament times. And it's a similitude or an illustration of their reaction, the reaction of the Jews to the coming of the kingdom and the coming of their Messiah. And the coming of the kingdom and the coming of the Messiah was through the preaching of John the Baptist and then Jesus Christ himself. And the people, he's saying to them, what are you like? You've heard all this. And what are you like? They were behaving like childish dictators toward God and his kingdom. Because they largely didn't accept John the Baptist's message, nor did they accept Christ's message. And why did they not accept him? Because God didn't do it their way. Isn't that right? It didn't happen the way they expected it would happen. These little Hitlers, childish dictators. Oh, they believed Messiah was going to come as a warrior king. Zephaniah. And he was going to be strong and sit upon the throne of David and put the Romans out. And then destroy Rome. But God had ordained in his plan that the kingdom would come and Messiah would come through the preaching of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. And the kingdom coming, the Messiah would come humbly. And they didn't like that. And because he didn't come in their way, they huffed. You're not doing it the way we expected. There they were trying to manipulate the situation. But they're not happy because it's not working out the way they planned when the Messiah came. And they were like children, childish dictators, trying to dictate to God and show him how the kingdom should come and would come to suit them on their terms. We have piped unto you and you haven't danced. We have sung the dirge and you haven't mourned. Didn't suit them. And because God was not subject to their childish manipulations, they refused the Messiah and his kingdom. That's how childish they were. And that's why Jesus says to this generation in Matthew chapter 11, what are you like? You're like petty children arguing and trying to manipulate others. And that's exactly what these Jews were. Childish dictators. Brethren, do you see how gross this sin, this attitude, this mindset is? It's gross. These people refused Christ's message and Christ's kingdom because they were proud dictators who must be in control themselves. And God hasn't done it their way. And therefore they refuse it. You see, because a sovereign God does not obey the wishes of people. They had made a plan already how the Messiah should come, what he should do, what he should be like, how the kingdom should come. And Jesus Christ didn't toe their line. Indeed, would not a sovereign God, if he's sovereign, make his own kingdom come in his own way? Not just to please a group of silly Jews. He made the kingdom come in his own way according to his own plan. And these Jews were not in submission to God's way or God's plan. And that's the first attitude that these Jews were showing, which is a symptom of the sinful nature in human beings. Jesus said to them, whereunto shall I liken this generation? What are you like? And he answers it by telling them what they're like. He says, "You're childish dictators who huff and pout and won't play unless it all happens your way. They were control freaks. It all had to be done their way. They wouldn't play." And that's the way they were. Which leads us to the second attitude that Jesus Christ brings up in answer to the question, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation? What are you like?" Secondly, he says, "You know what you're like? You're like Mr. and Mrs. Never Happy." That's the next verses, isn't it? 18 to 19. The Lord says, "For John came, neither eating nor drinking. And they said, 'He hath a devil.'" And the word is demon in the Greek. He has a demon. "The Son of Man came, eating and drinking." And they say, "Behold a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners." Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please. That's what they were like, isn't it? What an attitude they had. You couldn't please them. That's what the Lord's saying. He's saying, "You Jews, you couldn't please you." They had a problem with everybody. John the Baptist came, neither eating nor drinking. In other words, he was an austere man. He was very strict with himself. He ate only food that was necessary. He lived in the desert. We know that. Were they happy with him? No, they weren't happy with him. They said, "He's got a demon. He's possessed by demons." That's what they said. And then the complete opposite. Jesus Christ comes, the Son of Man comes, eating and drinking. The opposite of John the Baptist. Were they happy with him? No, they had a problem with him too. They said, "Look at him. He's a glutton." You know what the word glutton means? He's a voracious man. A glutton. He can't control himself. That's what they said. And he's a wine bibber. The direct translation of the Greek word is a wino. He's an alcoholic. That's what they called him. And their worst accusation of all, they called him a friend of sinners, which of course was the only true one. But that's a different message. They despised and they criticized and they name-called the Son of God. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, different. They wouldn't be happy with anybody. That's why they're called Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please. Because you couldn't please them. John the Baptist didn't eat and drink. They didn't like him. He didn't make them happy. Jesus Christ came eating and drinking, and they weren't happy with him either. Because they wouldn't be happy with anything or anybody else. What are you meant to do? How would you make them happy? Do you come eating and drinking, or do you come not eating and drinking? You just forget about it completely, because it doesn't matter what you do, because they're Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please. They're Mr. and Mrs. Never Happy, and they'll never be happy, no matter what you do. That's what they were like. They will always complain. They did. They always complained. They were critical fault finders. This stinking attitude of the sinful nature. Never to be happy. Not satisfied with anybody. What an attitude. The Lord is saying this to these Jews. "Whereunto shall I liken this generation? He says, you're like a bunch of old grumps and nothing would please you because you're just totally negative. Note also this Jewish attitude here. This type of person is prone to gross exaggeration, reading bad into everything. Their accusations go far beyond the facts. What proof is there that Jesus Christ was a glutton? What proof is there that Jesus Christ was a wine bibber, a wino? Where is their evidence? They have none. None. Where is the evidence that John the Baptist was possessed by a demon? Where is the evidence of possession that we see from the life of John the Baptist? There is none. He preached the gospel and he baptized people who repented and he didn't eat the same food as the Pharisees. And that means he's got a demon. He didn't dress in the same clothes as the Pharisees. Now he's got a demon all of a sudden because he's different. You see, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please are rotten. They're rotten. And they want to pull down and hurt and destroy people. And nobody was good enough for these Jews. Nobody had been good enough for over 1,000 years. They rejected every prophet, every preacher, everyone was ever sent to them. They were all Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please. They were always complaining. You couldn't please them. And can you imagine the face on them when they're saying this? Can you? Imagine them saying, what do you think about John the Baptist? He's got a demon. They weren't going to be smiling when they're saying it. Sure, they're not. He's got a demon. Well, what do you think about Jesus Christ? He's a glutton and a wino. They have a face on them like a dried up prune. That's what Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please look like. They're critical. They have no love at all. The Lord says to them, what do you like? Number one, you're like childish dictators. Number two, you're like Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please. Thirdly, just application and challenge. These Jews were both these things, brethren, weren't they? It must be done in their way. God must work in our way. We pipe, we expect dancing. We play the dirge, sing the dirge. We expect mourning. That's been done our way. And they found fault with everybody. They found fault with John the Baptist. They found fault with the Lord Jesus. They found fault with all the prophets. And they even said to the prophets, remember, they said to Jeremiah, don't prophesy to us anymore. We don't want to hear it. It didn't suit them. But these two mindsets and attitudes of these sinful Jewish people are still around today because the sinful nature in all of us hasn't changed. Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please haven't disappeared from planet Earth. Sure they haven't. We all know that, don't we? The very same attitudes are manifold in the society in which we live and even in some churches today. These unsaved attitudes, whether the person's religious or not. Are there not multitudes around today in the United Kingdom, in work, in churches, everywhere, who want it all done in their way? They even want God submitted to them, don't they? A God of their own imagination they think up. God couldn't send anybody to hell, so he doesn't. They've made an idol already. They don't submit to God. They want God submitted to them. They all love God, don't they? They want to dictate what God's like. He's all love and all mush and they know hell, God. They're just humanists. And they worship themselves. They humanist man is God. Their own imagination is God. Aren't there many in the UK today, and they're control freaks? Everything has to be done their way. And we know it. We know it. All of us know it. We all know it. Prayer has to be done their way. Baptism has to be done their way. The Lord's table, singing, the colour of paint on the wall has to be done their way. You know, we had a member in Wade Abbey who was a member for well over 10, 15 years. And they left because they didn't like the colour of paint that the painter put on the wall behind the pulpit. Had to be done their way. Childish dictators, alive and well on planet Earth. Or where the pew Bibles sit. That was another one in our church. Maybe I told you this before, did I? There was NIV pew Bibles in the church. They were given, donated by, I don't know, some relative in memory of some dead person. And they were all over the pews. The place was a real mess. And the leadership decided, we're going to tidy these up and put the pew Bibles on the shelves in the porch so anyone that doesn't have a Bible when they come in can lift it. Oh boy, we had trouble about that. We had desecrated the memorial Bibles. They should have stayed on the pews. And a member, a woman in her 70s that was a member for over 40 years left the church because the pew Bibles moved from the pews to the shelf. Childish dictators. It must all be done my way. That's the attitude. And if they don't get their way, they won't play. Because it's childish dictators. Brethren, see anyone like that, I said in our church, anyone like that, you don't want them. That can clear away off to some other church that can groan under their tyranny. There's a multitude today in this society and in the churches who you can't please. You're never happy with anybody. Fault finders, reading bad into other people's motives. Now, I'm not saying none of us have ever done any of these things. We are all sinners here. And we can all fall into these things and read bad into people's motives. But there are a multitude, and then they make gross exaggerations and accusations against other people that there's not even any evidence for. And they're critical, and they gossip, and they lie about others. Because you couldn't please them. Because inside them, there's this big empty hole. And they're never satisfied with anybody or anything. Or any church, or any people, they're not satisfied at all. Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please are alive and well on planet Earth today, just like the Jews that Jesus Christ was talking to. I remember a man, let me tell you a wee story. I remember a man many years ago, and he was attending White Abbey Church when I was there, and he was going to join. He would like to join, but there were just a few wee problems that needed to be sorted out first. Just a few wee problems that needed to be sorted out to suit him, you see. The first one was this. It'd be better, you know, if you didn't have women leading choruses during the morning and evening service, because we did have then when I first came. It'd be better, you know, if that was stopped. That'd be one of the things that needs to be stopped before they would join. Well, in God's providence, we didn't do anything to please that man, by the way, but in God's providence, through the years, various things came up, and sooner or later, women were no longer leading the choruses during the services. But he didn't join then. He says, you know, it would be better if there's no choruses at all. That's another problem. See that chorus book, Songs and Hymns of Fellowship? It'd be better if that wasn't there. Well, sure enough, that ended up gone. And we only used Redemption Hymnal. but he still didn't join the church. Because there was a few more wee problems needed sorted out. See, those NIV pew Bibles don't like the NIV. We would rather have the NIV not here at all, you know, and just the King James Bible. And in God's providence, that actually happened. The NIV pew Bibles disappeared into the cupboard, and we have King James pew Bibles. But he still didn't join the church. Sure he didn't. Because he still wasn't happy. And then the problem was, all the women don't wear hats. But then when I taught for 5 weeks twice on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, after a short time, all the women in the church were wearing head covering. And then the problem was the organ. We don't like organs. The organ was taken away in a van. It'd be better, you see, I would maybe join the church if it was more reformed. And the church became more reformed, and then eventually it came to the point where, well, we need to be singing the 1650 Psalms, of course, from the Psalter. And lo and behold, during all, after 10 or 11 years, all the music was gone, the hymn books were gone, and we're singing from the 1650 Psalter. Eventually, all the things that were a problem to this man were absolutely gone, and he'd no more excuses left to bring up. Do you think he joined the church? No. He cleared off and doesn't attend at all now. And you know where he goes to church now? At a church where they sing choruses, where they don't have the King James Bible, where women don't wear hats, and there is an organ, and it's totally Arminian, and they never sing a single psalm. That's where he goes. You know what his name is? Mr. Hard to Please. Alive and well on planet Earth. With millions of other unsaved people who are hard to please, and you couldn't please them if you did backflips blindfold. With all the other sinful, childish dictators who want everything their own way, always, and they're never happy with anyone. This whole attitude. This attitude is alive and well. And you can just ask and answer the question simply. Did you ever work in an office? Was there trouble in the office? Is there trouble in the factory floor? Is there trouble in the Houses of Parliament? Arguments and all. Is there trouble? Is there trouble in the multi-million dollar conglomerates? Is there trouble in the White House? Is there trouble in school? Is there trouble down at the club? Is there trouble in the church? Is there trouble at home? What's the cause? The cause is always the same. There's two reasons, two sinful mindsets and attitudes. Number one, there's someone with this attitude. I want it all done my way. And it's my way or the highway. And secondly, there's someone, and no matter what you do, you couldn't please them. They're never happy. Mister, it's never good enough. Mister and Mrs. never happy. So what's the lesson for us believers? The lesson is this, and with these I'll close. Lesson number one, let us learn to submit to God's plan that happens in God's way. And not try and control situations, because we can't control them. And if it doesn't go the way you want to, and if it doesn't go the way I want to, and if things don't go the way we think it should be, and God does something different, submit to it. And don't worry when things don't go your way. Because ruling the universe and working all things after the counsel of your own will, it's not your job. It's God's job. God does that. We just smile and get on with it because God is still on the throne. God rules. And secondly, don't be hard to please. Don't be a complainer, a moaner, a grumpy dumpty. Be a helper. Be a person that reads good into other people and what the situation. Don't be overly critical or gossipy or a liar. In Amy Carmichael's day, when poor women got converted, and there were many in Belfast, they were encouraged to come to church. And they called them shawlies because they were so poor that they couldn't afford coats. And they wore shawls. And they came to church, and the snobby women in the churches despised them. Despised them. They weren't pleased at all. They didn't want these shawlies coming into the church dressed like that. The welcome hall was built for such people as that in Belfast. Because of these religious, churchified snobs and their critical, not pleased attitude with poor converts. What a stinking attitude, brethren. It stinks. The same attitude as these Jews. They weren't happy. Jesus Christ says to these people in Israel, I've been teaching you great things, but what shall I liken you to? And then he says, you're like childish dictators. You're like Mr. and Mrs. Hard to Please. If you want the 2 points, what the Lord says, summed up in 2 words. Here's the 2 words. You're self-willed. And you're critical. Is that you or me? See if it is. Don't worry about it. Because you know what it is. It's called sin. And we sin because we are sinners. And Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Repentance and trusting in Jesus Christ. Because the very next accusation is, he's a friend of sinners. Amen. He certainly is. He certainly is. Amen. Thanks for your attention tonight.